The House of Representatives will choose a new leader soon, and one of the candidates has told members of a federal union he thinks they're hardworking, they deserve raises, and it's time to stop demonizing them. He's one of the Republican candidates for Speaker. Congressman Jason Chaffetz, the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, made those comments to the National Treasury of Employees Union conference back in February, and he announced his candidacy for Speaker on TV yesterday. David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call, watching how the Speaker's race is unfolding and how it might affect the executive branch. Before I identified that guy who made those comments, David, I think if you would have gone to any average federal employee and said, there's somebody running for Speaker who likes you, and he's a Republican, they would have freaked out. They wouldn't have believed it.
They would not have believed it, although now we know that Jason Chaffetz tried to be a civil servant. This is one of the reasons he was in the news twice last week before he decided to run for Speaker. He was the guy who the Secret Service revealed had tried to become an agent before he went into politics. So he thought about a career in the civil service. And I guess is now sticking up for the civil service worker. He of course is the underdog for Speaker. The first candidate out of the box, the incumbent majority leader Kevin McCarthy, remains the heavy favorite. Kevin McCarthy from Bakersfield, California, was a staffer. He was a congressional staffer before he went into politics. He worked for his predecessor in Congress, so at least he knows life on the staff side, not on the executive branch side, but at least on the congressional staff side.
The idea of the Secret Service leaking information about a sitting member of Congress has done something that nothing else that I've seen in the last several years has done in Washington, David. It's coalesced Republicans and Democrats on something. Everybody universally agrees that this was a really terrible, really horrible idea.
That's exactly right. Rare bipartisan agreement that the Secret Service totally misplayed this. They misplayed this at the wrong time. Obviously, they are already in something of a world of hurt in Congress, and to leak this about the chairman who, you know, is giving them the hardest time, and then to leak it about that chairman right before he decides to run for Speaker. I mean, it was about as bad a strategic move as you could imagine. I think that members of Congress generally are already kind of upset about the hacking, the Chinese hack, in which a lot of their personal information got leaked out. And I think it is, this sort of just underscores, puts highlighter over the fact that members of Congress are getting as ticked off as many typical citizens are about, you know, invasions of privacy and about the fact that sort of nothing is secret anymore.
It feeds the notion, too, that the Secret Service is just really, 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 really screwed up. Do we have a sense of what is going to happen next regarding congressional oversight of the Secret Service, David?
I do not. I think that if there is ever an omnibus spending bill, if we do come back and from the next recess, which is starting a week from today, and start negotiating a real year-ending spending bill, that what's in the works for the Secret Service next in terms of spending and oversight is a little bit stricter, although, to be honest, I cannot remember the specifics, because it's been a couple of months now since the House of Representatives voted to put some shackles on them.
And the oversight piece of that is the whole part of the Jason Chaffetz information leak thing that's completely puzzling to me, because of all of the 535 members of the Congress that you would want to leak information about, the guy who could immediately call hearings to stick a microphone up your nose is the last person I would rank him number 535 of all of the members that I would want to do that to, and yet he's the guy the Secret Service chose. You mentioned the idea of an omnibus spending bill. And President Obama, we're reporting today, has said, I'm not going to sign another continuing resolution. I don't want to sign a bunch of short-term things as Congress tries to get its act together in the middle of December. I want a bill, an actual spending, an appropriated spending bill. Do we know how that might play out over the coming weeks to actually get to? I can't imagine they would try to do all 12 individually. So it strikes me that an omnibus seems to be the most logical thing to expect if we don't get a full year or rest of the full year CR. Do we know yet the steps that that might take or what that might look like? Or in congressional terms, are we so far from December 11th, even though it's only 10 weeks away, 9 weeks away, that that hasn't started to shape up yet?
It's more or less the second what you just said. Obviously, one of the important people who would be at that table would be the Speaker of the House, and we will not know who that Speaker of the House is going to be, I would say, until after this recess. Because just to back up for 1 second, the Republicans are going to meet on Thursday to pick their nominee for Speaker between Kevin McCarthy, the Majority Leader, Jason Chaffetz, who we've been talking about, and the sort of third dark horse candidate, Daniel Webster from Florida. Then there's a recess for a week. Members go home, and then they come back, and it's only in that third week of October when the House will elect a speaker. And there is one of the reasons Chaffetz says he's running is he says Kevin McCarthy's got a math problem and cannot get, even if he's a nominee of the Republicans, he can't get the necessary 218 Republican votes out there on the House floor to get elected speaker. So all that's got to shake itself out before a real return to budget negotiations can happen. We do know that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi have said they're totally on board about, you know, trying to essentially negotiate as one on a year-ending spending deal. We know that there's some disagreement on the Hill about whether the president should be at the table or his designee should be at the table, or whether he should just leave it up to Pelosi and Reid to do the negotiating. And now we know that if the president was not just being histrionic at that news conference, that he really essentially wants to decide by December 11th whether we're going to do a full year CR or an omnibus. And if you can't break those budget caps, if you can't get a bipartisan agreement to raise the sequester budget limits in time to write a bill at those new limits, then a full year CR looks like the only option.
So that, and it's one thing I want to go back and make sure that we cover, because constitutionally, the Speaker of the House is not the leader of the Republican Party or the majority party in the House of Representatives. He's supposed to be the leader of the entire body, setting the agenda for the entire body. Traditionally, he's been the number one ranking person of the majority party, but that's not mandated constitutionally. And so whoever becomes the next speaker, as you alluded to, has to get 218 votes, which is a majority of votes in the entire
body,
not correct, just from the majority party.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So when John Boehner was reelected in January, some may remember that there were 20-some-odd Republicans who refused to vote for him, and he was actually only reelected by a very narrow majority, I think with 3 votes to spare, because so many members of his own party voted against him, and that was sort of raising the curtain on the internal drama that's been going on all year, which is ultimately what prompted the Speaker to leave. You're right that he's a constitutional officer. All Speakers of the House tend to say, I'm the Speaker of the whole House, not just the Republican Party. Or the Democratic Party, but in the modern world, and even in the entire history of the country, the House, the Speaker has been the party leader, and he essentially at any leadership meeting gives them one extra vote. You'll see that even in the most senior leadership meetings, if you have Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell, the only 2 senators, you'll then get the House Majority Leader, the House Minority Leader, and the Speaker going into the room. So that always gives the majority party one extra person, even in the most senior of meetings. That's probably the way it'll be at some point in these budget negotiations, either whether they decide to come up with a new spending limit that will allow a bill, a real omnibus bill, to be written, or whether they decide that a 1 year CR is necessary. And just by the way, their ambitions on this omnibus are bigger, and I think appropriately bigger, than just altering the spending caps for this year. They want to alter the spending caps for this year and next year, knowing that in an election year, trying to renegotiate again during an election year will be almost impossible. So the negotiating that they're going to try and do in the next few weeks will be a 2-year deal to raise the grand totals on defense and non-defense spending through their election so that the campaign does not gobble up all of next year's budget debate as well.
And quite a lot to cover in the coming weeks. Thanks, as always, for your insight, David.
Thanks, Francis.